Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Walk into a public high school in Boston, and you might find a daycare center. It's there for students who are single parents and need childcare while they're in school. But what about finding a robust sex education curriculum in those same schools? Good luck with that. Because until recently, the Boston Public Schools hadn't had a health department for about 10 years. And that meant that sex ed has been hit or miss. Some schools have a little of it, some have none at all. So where do kids find out about sex? Well, some Boston Public School students ask the same question.
We've asked students where they get the information about sex. One common answer has emerged.
Porn, magazines,
TV, I'm flicking through the channels, blah, blah, blah. I just seen it.
Porno?
Pornography, TV, magazines. That's a clip from a short movie created by a group of Boston students with the help of a Jamaica Plain nonprofit called the Hyde Square Task Force. That film will premiere tomorrow at 4 p.m. at the Connolly Library branch in JP. And the students who made it say they want a comprehensive sex ed program at all the city's high schools. And their push to overhaul sex ed has gotten the attention of Boston City Councilor Ayanna Pressley, who plans to hold a hearing on this issue next month. We'll be speaking to City Councilor Pressley in a few minutes. But first, we're going to talk with Samantha Brea. She's a senior at the Snowden International School in the Back Bay, and she's involved in this effort to beef up sex ed in Boston public schools. Hi, Samantha.
Hi.
So, Samantha, you are at Snowden, which is in Copley Square, Newberry Street. Is that roughly where you are?
Yes.
And you're in your final year of school. Is that right?
Yes.
So tell me what kind of sex ed you've gotten during the time you've been at Boston Public Schools.
Well, in high school, I haven't gotten any sexual education classes. But in middle school, I remember having a sex ed class maybe in seventh grade. And it was with, like, the typical physical education teacher. So you could tell how comprehensive it was.
It was a gym teacher?
Yeah.
Do you remember what the gym teacher covered?
Just the typical, like, the way the menstrual system works and stuff like that.
So that was middle school. So six, seven, eight. Then you got to high school and nothing?
Nothing at all.
Did you have health classes, but it just wasn't part of health classes?
I haven't had a health class.
Okay, so presumably you know stuff about sex.
Yeah.
So if you didn't get it, if you only got sort of learning about the menstrual cycle and so forth in middle school and then not much in high school, how did you find out what you know?
Actually, through Hyde Square, they provided us with a Get Real program. And
this is the Hyde Square Task Force in JP?
Yes, ma'am.
It's an after... Describe what that is. Is it an after-school program?
It's something like that. It's like it gives kids the power to empower themselves and then go out and create change in the community.
So they created some kind of sex ed curriculum?
They had members from Southern JP come and teach us a curriculum that they teach in their clinic.
You had to come to that voluntarily if you dropped by the program?
Well, since I work at high school, they sort of brought it to us. But if I wouldn't, like, been at high school, I would have never gotten it.
And what did that program teach you?
It taught you, like, the different... had a healthy relationship versus unhealthy relationship, how to sort of identify yourself as in, because, you know, not everyone is straight, and pretty much when to know, like, how to put a condom on, and sort of finds the truth in the false statements that are out there. Like, when people say, I don't wear a condom because I'm too big, or when it says, I don't wear a condom because I can't feel anything, and it's sort of, like, one of the things that they did was an obstacle course, which brings truth to those false statements that you, like, for the condom, you had to blow it up. And it blew up to 40 inches. Of course, nobody's 40 inches big. And, like, they made us put it in our hands so we could feel that you can feel anything. And it taught us how to put a condom on.
And again, this is all through this nonprofit group, not through the formal school system.
Exactly.
So you're part of this group of students that feels like you really want to get sex ed teaching, training in schools. Is that right?
Yes.
Why do you feel like it's important to get it in schools? Because clearly, at least you have been able to get it somewhere else.
Exactly. Because I've been able to get it somewhere else, I feel that the education that I got for sex ed, all kids should know, because when you look at the numbers of STI rates and just pregnancy rates in general in Boston, they're pretty high.
So you think it would actually make a difference? I mean, because a lot of kids roll their eyes at the thought of having to listen to a teacher tell them about sex. But you think that enough kids would listen that it would actually change their behavior, even to the point that it brings down rates of sexually transmitted diseases and that kind of thing?
Yes, because the way that the class is formatted, the way that we're envisioning it, is so that it makes it comprehensive, so that way they want to listen. So it's not just the usual, just don't have sex, like just those kind of things. But it's teaching you, like, if you feel that you are ready to have sex, use a condom, and just teaching them about the different STI out there, because I feel like the only STI rates that get promoted are the really risky ones, like the HIV ones. But there are so many more that kids don't get taught about. And if they do get taught these things, then maybe they'd be way more safer than they are now.
Samantha Brea, you're a senior. How old are you?
17.
Do you feel like among your friends or the people you go to school with, are a lot of kids sexually active?
Definitely.
Okay, so it's important for them to know this.
Yes.
So we have somebody else in the studio with us, and that is, before we bring in that other person, we actually had called somebody at Boston Public Schools today because we wanted to sort of get a sense of what does Boston Public Schools say it offers. So we called a woman named Barbara Husher. She works in the school's health and wellness department, and it turns out that this department is actually relatively new. So here's what Barbara had to say this morning.
The good news is now that this year we have made many changes in the district. For the first time in over 10 years, we once again have a health and wellness department. So as of right now, we're in the process of writing health frameworks, which will include sexual education. And before, since we did not have a health department for a few years, it has been difficult to get the sexual education into the schools, but we have been doing it with partners from other agencies in the city of Boston, as well as programs from Planned Parenthood.
So, Barbara, then the stories the kids have relayed about, in some cases, not getting sex at all, that has been the case for some Boston public school kids over the past decade?
Yes, that has been the case.
And why was that health and wellness department eliminated about 10 years ago?
At that time, it was just a health department, and there were some changes in superintendents, but now Dr. Johnson is very concerned and supports students' health education, so now some changes are being made.
One of the students we spoke with said that the sex ed they had gotten was abstinence-only sex ed. Does that ring true to you? Could that have been the case for some students?
Absolutely not. Boston does not allow abstinence-only education into their schools. It has to be comprehensive. And the difference with comprehensive sex education is that, yes, it does include abstinence, and yes, it does include birth control and condom use.
I'm interested in your general thoughts about this Hyde Square Task Force, where this group of students has tried to come together or has come together to say they want to create a comprehensive sex ed curriculum that will be offered in all the schools. What are your general thoughts about the kids organizing to do that?
Teens' voices are what we really need to listen to, because their behavior is shaped by what they already know. So we need to give them information and support so that the teens can act wisely and make good decisions. So we'll definitely be listening to them.
Barbara Husher, you made a comment about how students' behavior is shaped by what they already know. And certainly in the past 10 years, if there are Boston public school kids who haven't gotten sex education in the schools, it certainly doesn't mean they don't know anything about sex. And I wonder whether you feel concerned about what it's meant for the past decade or so of students who haven't got that training and instead have just learned it on their own or from friends, and what that means for their lives.
With poor information and inadequate support, then they could be making unhealthy decisions that could place their health and well-being at risk. So that's why it is important to get a comprehensive health education program that includes sex education to our students, so they can learn other than learning it from the streets or from hearsay or from media.
Barbara Husher, thank you very much for talking about this.
And thank you very much.
So again, that was Barbara Husher. She works for the Boston Public School System's new health and wellness department. And she told me that the district wants to have a comprehensive K through 12 sex education program in place by September 2011. So we have also in the studio to talk about exactly what a comprehensive sex education curriculum should look like, Melanie Singer. She's a community health educator at the Southern Jamaica Plain Health Center. She's been working with some of the students, including, for example, Samantha Bray, we just heard from, at the Hyde Square Task Force, who are trying to get a comprehensive sex education curriculum in the schools. Welcome to Radio Boston,
Thank
Melanie.
You.
And listeners, we're taking your calls. We want to know what you think sex ed should look like in a high school, or if you think in this modern age, is a high school really no longer the right place for sex ed and kids will learn it pretty well somewhere else? Or tell us what your own sex ed experience was like and whether that was helpful to you. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Melanie Singer of the Southern JP Health Center. We were hearing from Samantha Bray next to me, who's a senior at Snowden High School. She says she received no sex ed in school once she got past a little bit of learning about the menstrual cycle when she was in middle school. You work with students in the Boston Public School District. Is this experience Samantha described common for based on what you hear?
Yes, it's very common. I hear this all the time from students.
And what kind of things do students tell you they wish they were being taught that they may not know already or that they wish they learned in a different way?
I think that students wish that they learned about healthy relationships, about sexual orientation. I've in my work, I encounter a lot of kids who believe a lot of myths about sexuality.
Like what?
Well, I've had a couple of, older teens be surprised when, I've told them that they can get pregnant if they have sex without a condom and without birth control. And I know that that's really shocking to think that in this day and age that there are, teenagers that think that. But, it goes very deep.
How could they think that? They just don't have a basic understanding of how sex works?
Yeah, yeah.
Any other myths you can think of that you feel like kids learn on the street that they might have had dispelled if they had sex ed in school?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of myths about birth control and how safe it is. There's also sort of a lot of myths about, how we're supposed to act as women and as men. And I think that a good sex ed curriculum can sort of address gender relationships and just make everybody a little more decent towards each other.
So tick through with me what you think a good sex ed curriculum should cover. I mean, you made it clear it's not just about the mechanics of sex. You think it has to cover issues about whether you're gay or straight. So run through what you think it needs to cover.
Sure. So there's a lot of comprehensive sex ed curricula out there that are evidence-based, that are medically accurate. They tend to include things like healthy relationships, what to do, what does a healthy relationship look like? What does an unhealthy relationship look like? How to help a friend who might find themselves in an unhealthy relationship. We talk, of course, about sexuality, sexual orientation, gender identity, but we also talk a lot about self-esteem, and confidence, and how do you sort of communicate with your partner, around sexual behaviors, negotiating sexual behaviors, talking about things that are safer behaviors to do. Also media literacy is a huge component.
In what media literacy? How so? How you navigate the internet, for example?
Sure, that could definitely be a part of it. Also, just sort of understanding all the sort of sexual messages that we're getting every day through the media, and just learning how to navigate that, learning sort of what's real and what's not.
We have a caller from Sharon who wants to weigh in on the role that parents play in all of this. And this is Jeannie calling from Sharon. And Jeannie, what are your thoughts about sex ed? We're particularly talking about how Boston Public Schools really haven't had any comprehensive sex ed in a decade and are now trying to get that system in place.
Hi, I'm really glad that that's happening. I'm actually on my way to Boston College. I'm a nurse practitioner student, and we're taking up this issue for presentation this afternoon.
And this same issue? The same issue about sex ed?
Yeah, and how STDs are so epidemic, in this population. And basically what we've kind of concluded is that these kind of, outreach programs, they need to be school-wide, and the most effective ones involve the parents and the students as decision makers and collaborators with the school administration. So I'm kind of interested to know if that's what the Boston plan is going to be like, because just one class at a time It doesn't make as big of an impact on the students as it does if they know that their school is embraced in a collaboration with the community and with the entire school being on that, you know, pro-sex ed and pro-health attitude. It really makes a big difference.
Jeannie, thanks for that. And actually, let me first see if Samantha Brea, who's in the studio with me, who's a senior at a Boston Public High School, do you want to talk about that in terms of how would you feel if parents somehow were integrated? Would you not want your mom or dad involved in this?
I definitely feel that parents should have a say whether they want their kids to get it or not, because
to get just sex ed, plain old sex ed. You don't mean like condoms, you mean...
No, like just plain old sex ed, because just as people have a right to take a class, they have a right to not take it also. So we're not trying to like force someone to do it without their will. Like the parents could have a right if they want to take them out of that class. They have a right to that.
So even if you as a student felt like you really wanted to get it, you'd be okay with knowing your mom or dad, which actually I should say is the case. Parents can, in the Boston Public Schools, can choose to take their kids out of a sex ed program if they want. We were told this morning by the woman at Boston Public Schools. Melanie Singer of the Southern Jamaica Plain Health Center, your thoughts about incorporating parents into sex ed programs at schools?
So parents will absolutely be a part of the curriculum. First of all, you know, we always encourage our students to talk to their parents after every session about what they learned about, sort of understand their parents' values around the issues that we talk about. The curricula that we choose will be open to parents. They can read it. They can discuss it. We encourage parents to be talking about this because, you know, I mean, this issue doesn't just stop at the schools. You know, I mean, it goes home. And I think that, you know, it's important to start a dialogue with students and parents.
We also have a caller from Methuen, and this is Roger. And Roger, if we've been talking about the sort of state of sex ed in the Boston Public Schools. It turns out there isn't much sex ed in Boston Public Schools. What are your thoughts about that?
I definitely think there needs to be something in the schools. I know as I was growing up and as a new father, you know, I remember, you know, just a lot of things on television that influenced me, and video games, and the stuff the kids got now. I mean, I think it's pretty amazing what the kids are exposed to nowadays. Even I was exposed to a lot when I'm 38 now, but it's I think it's going to be a heck of an uphill battle. And just learning that kids can opt out of it, I don't know if that's. I mean, it kind of takes away that whole holistic approach on how to teach kids how to behave sexually. I think, you know, it goes to parenting, it goes to schooling, and maybe, you know, even to religion. But that's pretty much what I had to say about that. So.
Roger, thanks for that. And, you know, let me have a third person weigh in on this. And this is Boston City Councilor Ayanna Presley, who's in the studio also. She has scheduled a city council hearing for next month on this issue of sex ed in the Boston Public Schools. Councilor Presley, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So first, why did you think this issue was important enough to bring before Boston City Council?
Well, first, I would say it's a continuation of early work begun in my term. I'm newly elected, was elected in November of 2009, so I'm 11 months into my term. Since I joined the council in January of 2010, I've established a new standing committee on the council called Women and Healthy Communities. And we work on issues uniquely impacting women and girls. And the first issue I took on was teen pregnancy. Because I thought it irresponsible in a period of education reform to not be talking about the number one issue that girls drop out for. It's the number one reason girls drop out, and a leading cause as to why a number of our young men drop out of school. I filed an order for a hearing, held a hearing. There were some 100 people in attendance, including the Hyde Square Task Force. They have been allies with me in that work to get to the root causes as to the escalating numbers in teen pregnancy, to make sure that we're supporting pregnant and parenting teens and creating clear pathways for them to graduate, and also looking for ways to decrease those numbers.
So it made sense for you then to move on to the larger issue of sex ed.
Yes, because when we had that hearing, and I wanted to piggyback on the earlier statements made about parents and the role that they play in this, what we heard from parents at that initial hearing on teen pregnancy is, although there are many parents who are comfortable in having that conversation with their children, there are just as many parents who are not, and they actually are looking for that support. And I think it's important that we meet young people where they are. They spend 75% of their time at school. This is, again, a furthering of my work to decrease those efforts in teen pregnancy.
So you've gotten
those numbers in teen pregnancy.
You've gotten feedback from parents who really don't feel comfortable having that conversation.
Absolutely.
Themselves. They'd rather know that a teacher's doing it.
Who need the tools and would like the support.
So what can Boston City Council actually do? Is it more just give a strong opinion to the Boston Public Schools about what you think it ought to do?
Well, what I'm going to do in my role as the chairwoman of the Committee on Women in Healthy Communities is to convene a hearing to provide a venue and a format with which to discuss what would be the best model. And by bringing together all the relevant stakeholders, we can have a discussion about what might be the best model, listening to parents, students, and educators.
One of the issues that has come up is that some of the students have felt like there also need to be free condoms in school, which I think, you know, to some people is a different issue. And I wonder, Ayanna, if you want to address that.
Well, absolutely.
Is a sex ed curriculum a separate issue from condom distribution in schools?
Well, I think you need both. It would be irresponsible to have one and not the other. I also think it's important to highlight the distinction between condom distribution and condom availability. I'm not advocating for condoms in a bowl in a rec room. What I'm advocating for is an increased condom availability. And if we look to other municipalities such as New York, Philadelphia, and D.C., the data indicates that the only thing increased condom availability results in is an increased condom usage, which in turn creates a decline in STI numbers and in teen pregnancy.
Councillor Presley, you know, you said you are not advocating for condoms in a bowl in a rec room. Some people might say, why not? Particularly because, as I understand it, as BPS explained to me this morning, only high schools that have health centers in them can give out condoms. That's only about 8 health centers. And students have to have parental permission. So many students aren't going to go get them if their parents say no. So why not make them available for kids who can just pick them up in a rec room?
Well, because I want to make sure that we're supporting our young people in making fully informed decisions, healthy choices, and demonstrating healthy behavior. In an ideal world, there would be one, if not two personnel, one male, one female, that would be identified as persons that students could go to if they had questions.
Samantha Brea, let me turn back to you. You're the student in the room. You started us off with, I thought, some really great descriptions of sort of what you were taught and weren't taught and what you wish you had been taught. Any additional thoughts you have after hearing all of this about what's being done and what might be possible in the schools?
I agree with everything that she pretty much said. I agree that we're not trying to force people to take condoms, but we're just letting them know that it's there for you guys to use. And sort of having it there more frequently and more awareness of it would hopefully make them want to use it more. So I definitely agree.
And Melanie Singer, you're the health educator in the room who is going to help, who could potentially help design this. Anything you want to add finally about everything we've talked about in terms of what BPS can do to make a stronger sex ed curriculum?
I agree with both Samantha and Councillor Presley. I mean, I think definitely having a curriculum and also having, a panel of students that's identified at every school to sort of take on this issue and to really talk about it and make suggestions to the staff would also be very important.
Thanks to all three of you. We've been talking about the state of sex ed in the Boston Public School System. There hasn't been much of a sex ed program in the past decade. We've been talking to Samantha Brea. She's a senior at the Snowden International School in Boston. Thanks, Samantha. Also, Melanie Singer, who's a community health educator at the Southern Jamaica Plain Health Center. Thanks, Melanie. And City Councilor Ayanna Presley, who's also in the studio with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That student film we heard from earlier is called Sex in School, Does Ignorance Keep Us Safe? And it will be screened at 4 p.m. tomorrow at the Connolly Library Branch in JP. Up next, a Massachusetts nonprofit is making Jewish parenting in multicultural homes a little bit easier. We'll be back after a short break. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.